She Did It Her Way podcast episode 205, How to Grow Your Dream Business with Cordova Pleasance.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Today's interview with Cordova Pleasance is actually quite a fun one. Cordova, if you guys have been listening along through the podcast journey, she actually came on the podcast and we did a six-part series on how she prepared and launched her business called Resolute Boutique. And in that series, we dive into marketing, business plans, how to set them up, how to test your marketing plans, learn from it. We talked about the ups and downs of launching a business and her entire journey, and it was super fun. It was six podcast episodes. And so if you haven't checked them out, make sure you go back into the archives, and I'm going to link the podcast episodes on the show notes for this episode so you can just immediately get them right there as well. But definitely, definitely worth listening to. And so this episode is really a check-in to talk about what's new, how business has been going, has Cordova really reached the business goals that she set out to do? And we dive into all of that in this podcast episode. So a few things that we talk about in this episode is learn how to benefit from different social media platforms. Pinterest is a really great business tool or tool for her to use to drive business to her company. Also figure out how to grow your brand and expand the customer experience, be able to improve and create new avenues for business. And one of the really cool things that we actually talked about was Cordova got a part-time job a little bit into running her Resolute Boutique business. And we talk about the ups and downs of deciding to go work part-time just to earn a little bit of money. But at the same time, what would it look like if we actually just buckled down, put our head down, and invested that time into our business, even though sometimes we get pulled and feel like we should take that part-time for whatever reason. But we talk about that, and I love that conversation. Also, we talk about learn how to push and tailor your product online. So I can't wait for you guys to tune in. But before we do so, we've got a quick message from our partner for this podcast episode. Hey friends, for today's podcast episode, I have partnered with FreshBooks. And before I dive into who and what FreshBooks is and what they do, I want to share how grateful I am for the sponsors of this podcast. Because of them, it allows me to free up my time to focus on content building and serving you guys, my people, my listeners, to help grow your business and create profits in your business. And now, speaking of profits and business, let's get back to FreshBooks. So you guys have all heard me talk about them, but I've never gotten into the nitty-gritty as to why I absolutely love them. So FreshBooks is ridiculously easy accounting software designed with the freelancer or service-based businesses in mind. And it is extremely intuitive, and the user interface when you log in actually makes you want to hang out for a bit longer versus some other accounting systems that can be extremely overwhelming. So I use FreshBooks for my contract work, and it makes it super easy to create an invoice, follow up, draft an invoice so that I never forget to collect money, and create expense reports. Also in FreshBooks, they have this amazing time tracker. So you can not only keep track of your time, but if you use contractors, you can invite them to your team and actually watch and have them keep track of their time. So everything I just shared is from personal experience, and it is not from some script. I've actually had interaction. I've used the product, and their customer service team is amazing. So if you're in need of a software, accounting software, head on over to freshbooks.com/she and then enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us box. So now on to the show. Yay, we are back in the studio. I don't know why I just said studio, but we ultimately were, well, I mean, I am in a studio, my studio, the living studio, like not a one bedroom, but a studio. Anyway, super excited to welcome Cordova Pleasance back on the podcast for Woo-hoo! A little 10 month check up. If you guys haven't listened to her 6-part series, you definitely need to. And I'm going to throw the word should out there because Cordova was brave enough to let us get a behind the scenes look at her as when she was building her business. And so now she's launched her business and we're doing a 10-month checkup. Welcome back, Cordova.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It's so good to hear your voice.
I know. And hey, congratulations on getting married.
Woo-hoo. Oh, thank you. Super exciting. I know. I'm happy to be married. I think people ask me the question is like, will you change your name? What are you going to do? And right now, legally, it's changed, but going through changing and the passport and stuff with we haven't taken our honeymoon yet, and that's coming in March. And so quite frankly, I've got a couple other travel things coming up that requires a passport, and I'm like, I just don't have time on my plate right now, but I will definitely get to it anyway.
Seriously though, the paperwork side of things.
Yeah, that's what I hear. So maybe I'm like indirectly procrastinating it. So, well, catch us up. Like, for listeners who maybe haven't listened to the 6-part series, catch us up on what it is that you do, high level, and then we'll dive in and continue going with some of the your benchmarks that you've hit so far, just 10 months after launching, since we've last chatted with you.
Cool. All right. Well, I started a business. It's called Resolute Boutique and Lifestyle, and I launched it December 1st in 2016. So we're coming up on a year.
Yay!
I know. And what I do is it's an online boutique for product-based sales on apparel and jewelry that I source from trade shows around the country in the U.S. But the greater scheme and the greater plan is to take events and trips that take groups of women, and we travel around the state of Alaska throughout the summer, but then in the winter we hit a warm destination because that's like the ultimate goal. If you live in Alaska, you got a snowbird. And then we take these events and go on these trips that work with nonprofits and do good and be good. But in the meantime, like have an awesome girl party, paint our nails, drink a little, and then maybe restore a lighthouse or two. Things like that.
Totally amazing. Now tell us, like, what are some key benchmarks that you want to highlight that have happened in the past 10 months?
Okay. So in the beginning, like 9 months ago when we were doing the 6-week series, we talked about how I was going to do different social media avenues. So for Pinterest, I've hit over 100,000 impressions a month. So what that means is over 100,000 people see like images from resoluteboutique.com. So that is like so cool to
me.
That's
amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. For Instagram, I'm closing in on 1,000 followers, which is cool. Got 600 followers on Facebook. And according to Shopify, which is the e-commerce platform that I use, I'm in the top 12% of most traffic for all stores who launched the same week as me. So for all the Shopify stores that started, you know, around that same week of December 1st, I'm in the top 12% for most traffic, which is really cool for me to know, like, where I stand compared to other people who have started an e-commerce site, you know, just within the same timeline as me. So obviously I want to be in the top 10%, but we'll get there. And then I started doing trunk shows, so like little pop-up boutiques. I've only done 2 of them, but this last one I did because I just, my local community here in Juneau, Alaska, I wanted to cater to them, and everyone in Alaska shops online anyway, so that's kind of why I decided to go with an online store. But it was also like some of my products, you do need to try stuff on. That's like half the fun in shopping. So I had a trunk show, and it went off the hook. It was so rad. I freaking loved it, and it was the coolest part for me was I did it during tourist season. So tourist season is like throughout the summer here, and I did it in a location where I could get cruise ship passengers. And on day 2, this woman walked in and she's like, oh, hey, you know, I'm off the ship, cool. And she realized who I was, and she's like, I know about the Resolute. I'm from Florida, and I've totally shopped on your site before. And I was like, what?
What?
Oh, my God. I was so pumped. Like, I wanted to give her a hug without being weird. But it was so cool because that is so the power of social media, like at its best. Like, here's this woman, like, you know, lives in Florida, totally, like, knows about the Resolute, like, whatever, no big deal, and came, like, happened to be there for the trunk show, shopped, and left, and I was like,
that's
oh my
fantastic.
God. Yeah, it was so cool for me. So that moment right there was really big, and has definitely been turning the gears as to what I want to be doing next summer, because I've made a lot of mistakes. As with, like, any business owner, you just constantly, like, you're making mistakes all the time. So we could talk about those later. But, you know, that moment has really shifted and helped me to guide myself into how I want to take this in the future. So that was, the trunk show was really cool. So I'm going to do another one. It was great.
What do you think allowed you to beat your previous trunk show goals by 30%?
Having the cruise ship passengers. Mm-hmm. That was so big, because Juno gets, we get well over 1 million cruise ship passengers.
Wow.
Yeah, it's insane. And for a town of, you know, 33,000 people, it gets a little much, but those cruise ship passengers, like, are there to have fun and to shop. And so just by having that steady traffic coming in, who, you know, some of them didn't know about the Resolute, but now they do, because I can pass out cards and say, actually, we're an online store, so go home and shop.
Yeah.
Or if you do, like, you know, now that you've been to Alaska, when you go home, look me up. And if you want to come on, you know, a little bit more of a small group travel throughout Alaska, you know, maybe that's something that you'd be interested in. They're already there traveling, so now they're like, ooh. So, yeah, that was really cool. And also, you know, I beat that sales goal by 30%, also because it was my second one. So now the word is spreading throughout the community. So I think people were starting to feel a little bit more comfortable maybe coming in.
Sure. What? So talk to us then, too, about your Resolute babes that you have in seven cities.
Seven states.
States, not cities.
Yeah, so I do hashtag Resolute Babes for just anyone who's a customer becomes a Resolute Babe. And they're all over the country now, so it's slowly starting to spread. And I have a couple of Canadian customers, and then my furthest one away is in Bangkok, Thailand. That's
super
as far
cool.
as I've reached. Yeah, and it's really cool because actually being on your podcast, Amanda, I have a little promo code for listeners. It's SHE25, and you get $25 off. But
yeah,
your Canadian customers are like my customers. For whatever reason, the Canadians are like all about it. So I'm
Yay!
Super happy.
Yeah. Thanks for the Canadians listening in.
Seriously.
Well, thank you to everyone for listening in. But shout out to everyone around the world. I know it's so, it's like, it's not mind boggling, but you kind of almost have to take a step back too, especially, I mean, I've received emails from people in South Korea, in Israel,
wow.
like all around the world. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's not just United States.
No.
It's not just the Midwest. It's like everywhere, which is
I
awesome.
Know.
So.
It's so cool. Yeah. So slowly starting to spread and to to reach in all across the world. So it's really neat.
Yeah. Well, talk to us too about your first, you know, the Resolute trip. That was always a goal and a dream of yours, especially when we first started talking 10 months ago.
Yeah. So, you know, that's probably the biggest reason why I started this business, was how can I travel and, you know, do good and be good and have a really good time without spending all my money. Okay, I'll create a business around that. So my first trip, they don't happen very often. I've only done one because it's a lot of work to build an itinerary and to get people to come and then work with, you know, the nonprofit and find sponsors. So this first trip, it was to Cape Decision Lighthouse, and it's a week-long itinerary. And the goal was to help restore the lighthouse because lighthouses in Alaska get beat up. Like the weather just is so harsh sometimes. And so they need love. And there's no lighthouse keepers. So they've all been adopted by these nonprofit organizations. And growing up in Alaska, I've been really lucky to be able to get into these nooks and crannies of Southeast Alaska that a lot of people have never been to. Just because I was raised here, so my dad was a bush pilot, you know, so always flying planes. And Cape Decision Lighthouse was the last lighthouse built in Alaska, and it was built and finished in the 20s. And they're all Art Deco style, so they're super beautiful. And this one, not very many people, like ever in the whole world, have been to it, but they pass by it on the cruise ships. Mm. So, you know, thousands of people have seen it, but it's insanely difficult to get to because there's no beach, you know, but that's why the lighthouse is there, because it's all on rocks. And so I knew if I could get 5 people to come, I would, you know, financially, I'd break even, maybe even make a couple $100. That was my only goal for this first trip. Like, if I can break even, like, oh, I'm there. Like, that's a start. So this trip took us from Juneau. I had one person come from Washington, and another person come from Galena, which is on the Yukon River in like the interior of Alaska. So it's still like 1,000 miles away. Wow. From Juneau. Yeah, Alaska is so big. And I was supposed to have another person here locally come who was going to be my photographer, but she got caught up in work, so she bailed. And my very best friend, who was like, I was so happy that she was coming to just show her the lighthouse, came down with pneumonia like 3 days before departure. Ooh. And yeah, and then, you know, on top of that, within like 2 weeks before the trip, our landlord, we were supposed to be buying this house and it didn't work out, and so our landlord told us we needed to get out and move. Well, in the middle of summer in Juneau, there is no place to go, like, because people come from all over the country to work here. So people are living out of hotels because it's just filled to the max.
Oh my gosh.
So it was incredibly stressful trying to find and scramble to find a place for our family to go. We have a dog and I have a 2-year-old. Like, where the hell are we going to go? And then, you know, that same weekend we were supposed to leave, we got robbed because all the people that were coming, going, you know, preparing the house that we were living in to be sold, one of them found our cash drawer and robbed us. And it was horrible. It was just like all these things were like not working out. You know, my friend got pneumonia. It was like my photographer bailed. Like, who was going to be the photographer? Like, I didn't have a videographer. Like, everything was just,
oh my goodness,
it was awful. And everyone kept asking, "What? Like, you're going to cancel the trip, right?" And I was just like, hell no. Like, I will fight to the death to make this work. And as soon as we got on the plane, so what we did was I chartered a Beaver float plane, which is like the Cadillacs of float planes.
Nice.
Yeah. And so as soon as we got on that float plane, like, everything just left. And I was like, all right, like, I'm in boss lady mode and I'm going to show these girls a good time. And so everyone was got on the plane. We flew down to a little place called Port Alexander, got a little cabin down there. So it's like an hour and a half float plane ride. And it's just the beautiful, like the most beautiful float plane ride you've ever been on. I mean, just there were humpback whales basking in the sun, just fishing vessels everywhere, the mountains with just a little bit of snow on them. It was just so beautiful. Landed in Port Alexander, and the goal was to kind of hang out there and play it by weather, because weather means your whole life.
Yeah, I bet.
And so we did. We hung out there, and it was great. We cooked dinner at this little cabin and just kind of got to know each other. And then we chartered a boat from Port Alexander to the lighthouse. So we have to cross Chatham Strait, which is a big body of water and can be pretty sketchy. But we did it. We got there, and one of the lighthouse. So once we got to the lighthouse, the Lighthouse Society members were already there. So there was like five or six people there at the lighthouse. And they rowed out in this little like wooden dory boat. And we loaded up, went over to the lighthouse and spent the next 4 days there. So the days we were working. It was so cool. The blog is up so you can scope the photos. But we spent half the time helping to restore the lighthouse. So painting, we painted the inside of the hallways. We tore down old lumber that had been previously burned, like from like the 90s. We helped to build platforms to expand, because the lighthouse's goal is to eventually accommodate groups such as mine. So we were kind of like their test pilot. But it was also really neat because that was my fourth time there. So I knew already kind of what I was getting into. And then the last day we reserved for a full-on photo shoot. So it was so fun because, you know, I'm a girl. I love getting dressed up. And I special ordered these items from a vendor that I have down in Florida. And, oh, God, just the most beautiful, like, lace rompers and dresses. Like, super unpractical for the location, but that was the point. You know, you have this super rustic background that's, you know, impossible sometimes. And then these beautiful outfits and, you know, just to find an excuse to paint your nails at Cape Decision Lighthouse while we stayed there. You know, we stayed inside of our own room at the lighthouse, and it was just amazing. And I got sponsored. I went around different businesses and I got sponsored by Amalga Distillery, which is a new distillery here in our capital city. And so we were drinking gin and tonics the whole trip. Oh. And it was so great.
That is so amazing. And you guys were there for how many days? A full week?
Yeah, so it was a full week long itinerary, but we were at the lighthouse for 4 days. Because after we kind of finished up, closed up the lighthouse, and then we took a jet boat from Cape Decision Lighthouse to Wrangell. And then Wrangell, you've got Alaska Airlines, like commercial jet airliner service. So you can, everyone parted ways, went south or went north and wrapped up the trip there.
Wow.
But yeah, you should just scope out that blog and kind of thumb through those photos, because they're unreal. And that's what I wanted. I wanted like something that nobody else would ever get. You know, the log book, or the little guest book at Cape Decision Lighthouse is only like 4 pages long. And my name is in there 4 times.
Wow. So, my gosh. Yeah,
it's like, it's just an impossible place, but it is so beautiful because you can, you know, you can get up onto the roof or you can go all the way to the top of the tower in the cupola. And there's a huge colony or a little rookery of sea lions there. So anytime you look outside, you've got like, you know, 15 sea lions just barking at each other, and then humpback whales occasionally passing by, and you're just like in these marine crossroads too. So you get all this boat traffic. So cruise ships are going by, sailing boats are going by, and it's just like you're just on this island, and it's just like it's so magical.
That's incredible.
It was so good, and it was really great because it totally set the bar for these next trips, you know, of, yeah, like.
So when is the next one?
So the next one, this is going to be kind of a fun one, just because, like I said, the ultimate goal for anyone that lives in Alaska is to snowbird. So this next one is going to be this late February, early March. I haven't set the dates yet, but I will very soon. We're just going to go down to Palm Springs, and I'm going to rent a house, and we're going to do a little poolside chilling. And I have 3 nonprofits that I am interested in working with, and I haven't picked which one yet. So, you know, one idea is to work with the animal shelter there. So maybe doing like an adopt-a-thon or something with the animals there, maybe a photo shoot with the dogs or cats, or the Joshua Tree National Park, or the Salton Sea, who needs desperate help for their air quality, and just the biodiversity, the lack of biodiversity there. So maybe planting some trees or doing something fun. So very much working on the rough draft of that trip. So next summer we'll do another Alaska trip, and that's where like I can really get my hooks in because I know so much about Alaska. I've been guiding for 10 years, and so now to do my own is like freedom. Where are we going next?
Yeah.
This I'm going on a little scouting trip here in the first weekend in November. I'm able to like sneak away for an overnight trip to a place called Unalaska, and it's out on the Aleutian chain. And what I want to do for my next summer Alaska travel trip is to take the ferry, and it like basically is the poor man's cruise. But we go along the Aleutian chain, and the islands out there are, oh my God, they're so beautiful. I've never been out there, but it's probably 1200 miles west of where I'm at. So it's,
Forget how big Alaska is.
Yeah, totally. Because you always see it in the map and it's always like really small down by Hawaii.
Right. But like, it's huge. It's huge.
It is.
Well, yeah, that's amazing. So you'll have to keep us posted on like, just with like Palm Beach or Palm Springs and what you're doing there. And then your next trip after that, I would love to like circle back to with the thing when you talked about over 100,000 impressions on Pinterest a month, meaning over 100,000 people see a photo from Resolute Boutique. Like looking back the past 10 months, what was your strategy and what is your strategy when it comes to marketing? Like I know you shared a little bit about it 10 months ago in our series, but like how has it changed and what have you really found to be true with like what works for your business?
Yeah. So, I took a course, Instagram with Intention. It was just like an online course through Dean Street Society. It's really good. And it was basically how to double your Instagram followers. So I had 500 followers. I took that course and I've been building a lot with that. And so I got really excited over Instagram because you can just reach like so many people, so many impressions. But what I have kind of come to realize is Instagram is great for people who want to browse, but for conversions, it sucks. like Facebook, I have more traffic coming in off of Facebook, and I kind of stopped paying attention to Facebook because what I would do is I would just schedule out posts, it's actually really a great tool because that way you can kind of keep your posts somewhat under control. There's like that 80-20 rule. So for me, product-based, 20% I can be promoting and posting about product, but the other 80% I want to be posting about travel and food and style ideas and things like that. So by scheduling out Facebook, that helps with that. But my Facebook audience, it's only 600 followers, but they convert higher because they can click and directly shop, whatever they're wanting to buy.
Yeah.
So kind of that's like a new realization. That's like the realization of the week. And it's Wednesday.
Nice. It's such a solid realization.
Yeah, thank you. For Pinterest, I didn't really have a strategy other than I wanted to be able to post photos from my own blogs and I wanted to be somewhat consistent. So I read last year when I was doing all my back research that as long as you were consistently posting anywhere from 5 to 30 photos a day, you would gain traction. So I made it a minimum that I would try and post 5 photos, a couple times throughout the week. I can't do it every day. It's too much. I don't like being boxed in by a schedule. So I've just been, posting my favorite photos through that all trace back to, blogs on my website. So everything links back. And the photos have been doing really well. Like, it's pretty awesome. So you can go on, if you're a business, you register your Pinterest account as a business, and then you can see all those analytics of, top posts, the demographics of where these people are coming from, and how many people see your posts, how many people pin it and things like that. So yeah, I can see that over 100,000 people are seeing something from the Resolute every month.
Is there like, when you track it from Pinterest, Is it easy to track the conversion if someone sees it, clicks it, buys it?
That is pretty rare. That's only happened to me like a handful of times. The first time it happened to me, somebody bought a sweater, and it was like a photo of me paddling a canoe at the glacier. So nice. it was great. And so, and they were another Canadian customer. Seriously, those guys are great. and it was, that was when it dawned on me. It was like, whoa, I need to be paying more attention to Pinterest. And so that's when I really made an effort to be posting, or pinning a couple times a day, whether that was stuff from my website or just things on Pinterest, because you know how you can go down a Pinterest hole and be gone for days.
Oh my gosh, yes. Have you found that like certain photos will peak different levels of engagement, or I mean maybe it's even the format of the photos? Like, what have you learned just either through Pinterest or Facebook in terms of split testing?
For Pinterest, I've always cropped my photos to be like, I'm a nerd, and so I looked up like the most ideal photo size for Pinterest, and they came, you know, gives you, Google shoots back pixels for you. So I just make all of my Pinterest pictures in that format, and they seem to do pretty well. I haven't really done much split testing just because I'm still new and I'm still kind of just feeling everything out and learning, because it just never changes. And like, just when you think like the trend, you know, used to be like words on pictures, you know, quotes and things behind a beautiful backdrop. But that trend is kind of over. So now you have to find the new trend of what's pinning, you know, at higher rates, or what's being shared on Facebook. And so it's ever evolving. And I think for me, what I've really learned is just, as long as you are trying your best to produce quality, you know, images or blog posts, then you'll be all right. You'll be okay. And that stuff will be shared. But the moment you try to become automated, it goes downhill really quick.
Sure. Well, I would imagine, especially because it's, you know, everything changes so quickly that it's it's crazy. What are some other things that you've learned in the past 10 months, just in general about being a business owner, or things that the listeners could benefit from, just your knowledge?
Yeah, well, another realization of the week, or of the month, I made a really big mistake over the summer, and that I got a part-time job, and I should not have done that. So I've told you before, I drive tour buses. I've always kind of done that as like a side gig, because it's just so fun for me. And I did it this summer, and my idea behind doing that was, oh, if I, you know, have this part-time job, I'll have a, you know, an income that I can help pay for daycare so that I can have time to work on my business. Well, what a freaking waste of time that was, because what I ended up doing was stressing myself out, being on this time crunch. You know, I had to dedicate 20 plus hours a week to something that wasn't mine. And then I ended up automating a lot of my posts and my emails. And I saw a couple people unsubscribe, who I, like, this one person unsubscribed and it cut so deep. I cried, and it was so stupid that I cried, but
oh,
I
no.
did.
Well, what about that? Because I feel like people unsubscribe a lot. What was it about that individual or that experience that cut you so deep?
Well, it was an individual that, like, for me, like, has great style, and like, I've known her for a very long time, and I was just super excited that she was into it, because I was like, you know, like, you are my ideal, like, client and audience. And when she unsubscribed, it just, like, hurt so bad, because I felt like, you know, nobody likes me. If she doesn't like me, how can anyone similar to her also like me? It was so stupid that I cried. And then, like, the next day I was like, you know what, get over it, because my goal is the bigger picture. Find people that you want to be in your tribe that you don't know, because that's the most exciting part for me. And that's why I also love travel, is you meet people that you don't know, and then you get to build these relationships across the globe that way. So I had to get over it, and you know, now when I see occasionally somebody will unsubscribe and I don't even look to see who it is. Just don't look.
I know.
that's my advice.
Yeah, I feel yeah. It's like one of those things that when I'm like, oh, I just sent an email and I got three people to unsubscribe. And I'm like, well, you know, and then the more I like study and get into email marketing and really look at the strategy behind it and not only the strategy, but like obviously how to best serve the people that are on your list and that you can provide value through. It really like, it's almost a good thing that if people remove themselves from your list, because you learn like, okay, maybe that person wasn't a fit, or maybe I'm not doing something to serve them or speak to them in a way that actually does fit them. And so, but I get that. You're always like, ooh, what happened? Yeah.
And actually, that was around the time when I was trying to launch my membership, and the launching of my membership totally flopped. It went off so poorly. And I was writing emails, like trying to clarify what I was doing with my email list, and that's when she unsubscribed, and I was like, yep, I totally dropped the ball on that one. So bad.
You're saying like after you were trying to say what you wanted to do with your email list,
I launched a membership in March, and the membership, like the technology side of things, totally failed. It was because I had hired somebody to help me with it. Well, they didn't help me with it, and they told me it was going to be easy, you know, a couple clicks of a button. Well, it's not when you're trying to build something like a portal where people can log into your website and see select products and see, you know, a trip itinerary, that sort of thing. It's actually really intense to build something like that into your website. And my website person kept saying, oh, no, it's super easy. We'll do it. Like, just do it a couple days before. So I did, and it didn't work. And so then I was, for everybody wanting to sign up for the membership, I was like, just kidding, it's not available next week. Okay, it might be available. And then I just like dug the hole deeper and deeper. It's just like, it failed. But then it ended up working out because I got a couple of members, which was really great. And that's who attended the trip with me.
Yeah, I love the idea of the trip and like how you're creating a lifestyle brand with the product that you have right now. What are some other things that you've done in the past 10 months that you're really proud of that's like generated profit to your business?
I think I'm starting to really get into the swing of creating awesome blogs. And that takes time, you know, to produce quality content takes time. You can't just start and have like a library of great stuff. And so over, you know, the last 7 months or 10 months, I've been really starting to get into the swing of going on an adventure and bringing my photographer and then writing about it and then, you know, writing to my best ability and then sending link backs. And so finally having these blog posts, I think one of the newer blog that I just wrote was just a 12-hour what to do guide in Juneau, Alaska. So for anybody, this is kind of also for Pinterest, you know, for anybody who's coming on a cruise to Alaska or for anybody who wants to come check out Alaska, Juneau is the capital city, so you got to come here. And so I wrote a little 12-hour guide of what to do, you know, in the downtown area, just a walking tour, things to see, where to eat, where to shop. Juneau is in Vogue magazine again this year.
Oh my gosh.
For our restaurant scene, because we have some like really good like top chefs here, because we just get such a diverse mix of people, so it just brings in like all these different flavors. And one of our chefs from my favorite restaurant just took home like the national seafood title. so just that kind of a guide, and I'm good at it because I'm, you know, a tour guide part-time. But then in combination with a really fun styled shoot that we did downtown, I had this like really great cheetah faux fur jacket.
I saw that faux fur jacket. It's super cute.
It's awesome. I only have one. Because that's another part of this business that I'm rapidly learning about is working with these vendors one of the mistakes I made in the beginning, but something that you can't really help but avoid, because when you start out new in retail, you don't have your select choice of brands. So you have to go with these like ones that are like, it'll do, but you have to buy minimum. So you have to buy 7 pieces of this one top, and that sucks, because sometimes it can take you months to find, you know, to get rid of all of them, because you got to find different sizes and people who like that style. So as I'm moving into brands that I actually like, and a little bit of higher end, mid-ticket apparel, then you can start ordering just like one piece, or, wow, you know, a couple pieces, you know, just one size small and one size medium, and that's it. That's all I'm going to get. And it's really awesome for that, because now I can have more variety and I don't have to spend as much. And then I don't have to sit on the inventory for a long time. So that's another thing that I'm still learning about, is controlling the amount of inventory I buy through different brands.
Do you, like, as a online retailer shop, is there what's the point or the tipping point that you then put something on sale if it's been online for like 30 or 60 days and then it goes to sale, or like, is there a specific strategy that you follow?
That is something that I like, the amount of time that it's been on there definitely influences, or if I have like one left, then I'll throw it on there. But it's kind of funny, not a lot of people shop the sale. So I found that the trunk shows are really good for that. Because in person, people love shopping sales in person, but on my website, people like shopping for the new items and for the jeans. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of an idea I'm toying with right now, is perhaps next summer I might just get a little seasonal shop, because that's what a lot of businesses do here in Juneau, and that's what I did. Like the last week that they were here, the last week in September, I walked around to some of the businesses, like, you know, all the seasonal shops that pack up and leave in October and head to the Caribbean or wherever they're going. And I talked to this one guy about doing it and just kind of, you know, picked his brain about it. And he was saying, if you're going to open a seasonal retail shop, you got to expect to pay for one full year of rent, because nobody's going to give you a 6-month lease. And you got to hire at least 2 employees. So you're in $50,000 if you're going to do it.
Wow.
And that was just, yeah. And it was a harsh reality check, but it's true. But the payoff can be really big. In one day, I almost tapped $3,000 in sales, just by being there, like from cruise ship passengers. Yeah. And so I've worked in jewelry stores, and I've worked in a fur shop one summer. So I remember, you know, that's having that seasonal shop is awesome. It can be incredibly powerful. And especially if I'm online based, I can send all these customers home with, you know, I'm actually an online store, don't forget about me.
yeah. And like promote it in that mm-hmm. way. What would you say, like, so just assuming you're in your first year of business, if someone's listening and they're either in their first year or they're thinking about starting a business, what are like the two to three things you would say, okay, based on my experience, this is what I highly recommend you go do? 1, 2, 3.
Spend the time to research the hell out of whatever you're going to do. Because that, I took almost a full year to research like social media marketing, and I really spent the time creating a business plan, which I still fall back on and have to, like, anytime I start to get off track or like come up with this like harebrained idea, it always like bites me in the butt, and I end up having to come back to my business plan, you know, of like, you know, the original goal is this, stick with it, because that's what you wanted to begin with. So create a solid plan of what you really want to be doing in 10 years, 20 years, or, you know, 5 years, whatever it is. Just create that timeline and then set goals to accomplish what is on your timeline. And then second of all, if you can get away with not spending as much money as you want to, do that. Because I definitely made a mistake, you know, lots of mistakes, but buying going overboard on buying too much inventory has definitely happened to me. And it sucks because now I'm like, I have this inventory and it's like, I don't even like it anymore. Like, and now I look at it and I'm like, ugh, you're just your money sitting there. You're just like, get out of here. So, you know, that's, if you are going to go into the retail side of things, get minimums, just do it, because it's way better to sell out of something and have to restock it or go with a new style than to have one style and to have to, you know, photograph it and, you know, try and sell it if it's not working. Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, that's it.
So the research the heck out of it, which is super smart. Mm-hmm. Create a business plan so that you can come back and stick with it, and then create a timeline and set goals on how you're going to do it. And then the second was limit your expenses. So be mindful of how you're spending your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just in like some of the promotional material that I had, like when somebody orders, I put a little postcard in there that talks about, you know, how to do a return and how to find us on social media. Well, I thought I was, you know, going to give myself a break and get a good deal by ordering 500 of them. Well, I don't even like them anymore because I want to change that and I want to have like a contest on there and I want to change the wording around. But now I have like 300 of these postcards that I paid for and I don't even want to use.
You're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, like, can I do a return? So just get minimums. Like, you can always get more, but it's really hard to get rid of stuff, you know, like postcards or extra inventory.
Totally. Yeah. I definitely share the sentiments on that too, because things will change and it's like, oh, wait, what are we doing? Yes. I love it. Is there anything else that you want to share with my audience on anything that you've learned or that stood out or advice? Anything?
It just depends on what world you're going to enter. Like if you're going to enter the online world, just dive in head first and see like who is out there, who the players are, and see what kind of an audience they're attracting and how you can get in on it. If you're on like the retail, like in the real world, that store owner that I talked to, he just has a perfume store. That's what he sells, is perfume. And just him saying, you know, if you are going to start a retail shop, you just plan on spending 50 grand. And it's true, because you have to have at least two employees, because you cannot be there all the time and one employee will always call in sick. And so to pay their expenses, you know, plus the shop space, there's so many things to consider. But if you love what you do, just do it. And like at this point, I'm almost a year in business and you will have to fight me to the death before I give up the Resolute. Like I am so deep into it and so in love with it, and just all these different challenges and the freedom that it brings. But you know, I don't mind hard work and I love it. And there's no way that you could make me not do that anymore. Like I will not work in a cubicle. No, you will fight.
No, thank you. I mean that you bring up a really good point, and especially in the beginning stages of the like building a business and running it and doing the research and doing it in parallel. If you have a full-time job and then going off on your own, like it's not okay. I'm doing this for 1 year. And if it doesn't, I mean, you could, I'd be cautious of setting like, oh, I do this for 1 year. And if I'm not making X, Y, and Z, then I'm quitting. Like setting realistic expectations long-term and understanding that over time, it takes time. And it's about setting the goals that allow you to reflect every 3, 6 months to a year and say, totally, like, am I on pace on where I want to go? And then it's almost like you can hit a turning point and things start happening a lot faster and you start to see things that you're doing and like, what does success really look like and what are you doing that is driving the results that you want?
Right. Because from a financial standpoint, like most people would probably tell me to give up on this right now, because I'm not like right now with numbers, I'm not making money. But I'm not losing money, you know, so I am like breaking even. And for me, it's like my sights are so much on the long term. Like I've finally found my groove and I'm going to stick with it. And, you know, to give it up after a full year, I just feel like you're shooting yourself in the foot and you're giving up too early, because it takes, like, think of it from, you know, a customer's perspective of whatever business you're doing. Like sometimes it, like for me, even if I see like a new shop, you know, downtown, I won't go in there for the first 6 months that they're open just because I'm not sure about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the same on my side. You know, it could take somebody a year before they give it a try. And you have to be patient with that. Yeah. And that's the hard part, is you have to like find a way to stick it out.
Putting on the patient hands. Just keep going. I love it. Well, Cordova, this has been amazing. Can you share with my listeners where they can find more information about your business and the trips and the journeys that you have coming up?
Yeah, totally. Head on over to resoluteboutique.com/she, and that's the She Did It Her Way landing page. So you'll find all my tips on where I got a lot of my research ideas and things like that. You'll also find that little coupon code for $25 there. And also find me on Instagram or Facebook or Pinterest. Instagram is really fun because I find that people are really interactive and engage a lot higher on Instagram. So I love that. And in fact, I've had a lot of people of your listeners, the She Did It Her Way listeners, contact me from all over the place and say, hey, you know, just saying, hey, I heard you on the podcast. It was awesome. And now we're friends on Instagram and Facebook. And it's really fun to follow people, you know, from your audience. Yeah.
So. I love it.
Mm-hmm, me too. So come on over.
Again, if you're just starting out with your business and you need an accounting software that is simple and easy to use, check out FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us box.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out shedidithowaypodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.